Today we're going to talk about our emotional health. I just want to mention a few words before we go there, guys, that transformation, it's impossible without Christ. So when we talk about transformation, we come out from that belief that we need a Savior. Doesn't matter what area it is, in every area of our life, we need Jesus, we need Savior. We can't transform ourselves. We can't just do it just out of our willpower. We need Jesus, we need His grace. We need the presence of Holy Spirit. We need His power. So when we talk about transformation, just keep this in mind. Also, transformation, it's rarely just one big leap. Oftentimes, it's just a series of a consistent steps towards the right direction. Sometimes people can get discouraged because they hear some things and they try to do something and they may not see immediate changes. Keep on doing. Keep on doing those steps. Keep on moving forward. And one of these days, you will see the change. Transformation will be obvious in your life. Rick Warren, the videos that we are going to watch this week with live groups and also on Monday here at the church, he will be diving into more of an emotional healing. This morning, or this afternoon, we're going to mostly talk about biblical principles for emotional health in general. But one thing I want to mention for you guys, if you are in a place of deep emotional pain, I'm begging you, do not go through it by yourself. You can't beat it by yourself. Our church, we believe in counseling. We have several ministries that are there for you, like Cleansing Stream and Genesis. And don't go through it by yourself. Come to us and we will guide you, we'll direct you, we'll connect you to strong people who can help you to go through it. I would like to start with a scripture. It's actually one of my favorite scriptures from the Bible, and it's found in Deuteronomy, which is kind of fun to find your favorite scripture in Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 12. And I believe that this scripture lays foundation for our emotional health. This blessing is our in Christ. The beloved of the Lord dwells in safety. Did you know that you are beloved of the Lord? Did you know that your Father passionately and deeply loves you? Being rooted in the love of God, that's where we gain strength. That's where we gain our health. That's where emotional health is laying upon. And we dwell in safety. This word dwells, it means nobody going to kick you out. You are accepted for good. When I came to Canada, I came on a work permit. And I felt like if I lose my job, I'll be out of country. So they give you 7 days. If you lose your job, if you break your contract, you're out of country in 7 days. So you just do whatever it takes to keep your job. But then I became a landed immigrant. I became a permanent resident and then citizen. We are citizens in God's kingdom. We were adopted and brought into His family for good. Nobody's going to kick you out. You dwell in safety. Safety, which means God Himself, He is guarding your future. He is guarding your destiny. He is guarding you Himself. The high God surrounds him all day long like a cloud goes and surrounds you every day, every hour of your life, even when you don't feel like it, even if you go through the bad days, even when you go through the valley of shadow of death, on a good day, on a bad day, you know that your God going alongside you. He's surrounding you with His presence. Hallelujah. It makes me so encouraged. And He dwells between His shoulders. We live right in His heart. We know that we're so close to Him. Between His shoulders means right here in His chest. And that gives us foundation. That layers the foundation for our emotional health. Because our feelings and our emotions, they are connected. They're wired in what we believe. We can't go without it. We can go into some steps and moves and techniques, and those are all helpful. But foundation for our health is knowing who we are in Christ. It's knowing that you were accepted by Christ. In Christ you were accepted, and nothing can change it. You are accepted with all your flaws, with all your shortcomings, with all your baggage. You were accepted and deeply loved by your Father, and that's the foundation. So when we go further, please keep that on the top of your mind because this is a foundation. Proverbs 15:13. A cheerful heart is good medicine, But a crushed spirit dries up bones. I would ask you to check your neighbor's bones, see how dry they are, just for the fun of it. But I would do it in Ukraine, but in Canada you probably get a lawsuit if you do that. So I really like how a Good News Translation puts it. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. It is a slow death to be gloomy all the time. The state of our emotions, that's what makes a difference between miserable or happy. Being miserable or happy has little to do with the circumstances. You know, I travel a lot in different countries of the world, and it's interesting to see how in a similar circumstances, one people, they remain cheerful, but another, they crushed. And let's try to figure it out. State of our emotions, that would make a difference. I heard this saying here in Canada, happy wife, happy life. And I never heard it before. In Ukraine, it would more go like happy mother-in-law, happy life. But I would say that healthy emotions, happy life. Healthy emotions, happy life. The only reason why we have emotions is because God gave them to us. Did you know that ability to feel feelings, emotions, it's a God's gift to you? Sometimes it may not seem like it, but it is true. God didn't make us robots. We can feel because He feels, because He has ability. When you read through the Bible, we look at the ministry of Jesus. He was showing lots of emotion. He passionately loves us. He is after us. Look at, you know, when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? It was Mark 12, 29. He said, the most important commandment is that you must love your God with Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Can you see emotions? I'm pretty sure when Jesus was telling that, he couldn't just say, well, love your God with all your heart and, you know, all your soul, whatever. No, he was emotional. Like, you know, our relationship, our emotions, they help us to experience depth in relationship with God and also with each other. It takes us much deeper. Are you old enough to remember what black and white TV looked like? It was a game changer when color TV was introduced. Emotions, they make our life colorful. Bursts of colors. It's not just gray. I just remember watching this small black and white TV and kind of, oh, it was all right. But then my grandfather brought us a small color TV. Oh my goodness, it took the whole experience to the next level. Colors, colors, colors. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's what emotions do. There are two extremes. When it comes to emotions, there are two extremes that we need to avoid. One extreme is emotionalism. All that matters, how I feel. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. Doesn't matter if it hurts other people or not. Doesn't matter what the Bible says about that. If I feel it, if I feel good about it, I'll do it. If I don't feel good about it, I won't do it. Everything we want to do is just chasing after emotions. Emotions become our main guideline. They dominate our lives. They, in the foundation of every decision we make, emotions. Another extreme, emotions don't matter at all. Emotions are for weak people. Every display of emotion is bad. Every time somebody shows any emotions, we judge the person. And you know, I was in that camp. Sometimes when people go through pain, sometimes it gets to the point where you just can't take it anymore. You cannot take it anymore. And what you do, you just make your heart tough. You toughen up your soul. You stop responding, and you, because you can't, and because another feeling of pain will just, you feel like it's going to kill you. And you toughen up yourself. You swallow your emotions. You keep it inside so nobody would see it. Man up. Swallow it. Suck it up. Keep it there. Don't show anyone that you're weak. There is a good saying that every time you swallow your emotions, your stomach keeps the score. At some point, it's going to burst. It's not healthy. So those are two extremes we should avoid. So now, when we establish that emotions and ability to feel are from God, we need to understand this, that the same way God wants us to learn how to manage our bodies, the same way God wants us to learn how to manage our minds, He wants us to learn how to manage our emotions and feelings. And you may see, can I manage my emotions? Can I affect what I feel? Some of you are almost thinking, don't tell me what to feel, it's so personal. How can I affect what I feel? Let's see what the Bible says about that. See, emotions, they could be a huge blessing that fuels us and inspire us to carry on, to keep on going strong. But sometimes, some other emotions, left unmanaged, they can take us to places we don't want to be at. Proverbs 29:11. A fool expresses all his emotions, but a wise person controls them. Huh. I can control my emotions. That's interesting. See, our emotions are a reaction to what we think happening to us. If we think that something good happened to us or around us, naturally we feel good about it. We feel joy, we feel excitement. If we think that something bad happening to us or around us, we feel bad about it. We feel frustrated, we feel upset. Nothing wrong with it. If you were hoping for something, you were expecting to get something, it never happened, you were expecting to get this job and it never happened, what you feel? You feel disappointed. Right? It's normal. It's okay to feel. It's normal to experience all these emotions. But this is where the rubber meets the road. What are you going to do with those emotions? Are you going to dwell on them? Are you going to allow these emotions to mature inside of you and grow inside of you? Look at emotions as a railway track. Every emotion has a destination. So you need to ask yourself this question. Do I like the destination where this truck might take me? Are you going to hold on to these emotions and eventually be poisoned by them? Are you going to jump to conclusion and shape your opinion based on those emotions? Are you going to allow those emotions to shape your attitudes and push you to actions? This is an important question. Proverbs 25:28. A person without self-control, it's like a city with broken down walls. If city doesn't have walls and somebody wants to come and conquer the city, it's easy prey. Nothing stops that city from being taken over. So Bible tells that those walls, they can protect our soul, our emotions. It's a self-control. Did you know that we can and we should learn to practice self-control when it comes to our feelings and emotions? Proverbs 16:32, Bible says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. What is anger? It's a legit feeling. When something didn't go your way, something's not right, something went out of control, you feel angry. But this is what I want to tell you guys. You can control your anger. You can determine and decide how far your anger will take you. And also we can apply this principle to any other emotion. We can read the scripture, be slow to be frustrated. Be slow for jealousy. Be slow for disappointments. Be slow for irritations. I call it emotional maturity. This is the place where God wants to lead us. Place of emotional maturity. I want to give you four suggestions how to manage our emotions. It's those are steps how we can practicing emotional maturity in our daily life. Number one, name it. Name it. Be honest with yourself. Identify what you really feel. What you really feel. It's a first step toward managing our emotions. If you don't even want to talk about it, it means it's already too far. It means it's already became a problem. Oftentimes, we need help of someone who can help us to identify what exactly we feel. You need to have people in your life whom you trust. People who you give permission to be honest with you and to talk to you and to tell, I think you're feeling that. Who will help you to identify what exactly you're feeling. Because some emotions are toxic. If you hold on to them, if you hold them inside for yourself, not being identified, they are toxic. They will take you to a bad place. That's why we need to have supportive people around us and be honest, be vulnerable. These days, people are so obsessed about their self-image. And it stops them from being honest. It stops them from admitting what they really feel, because they think that by doing that, it will make them look bad. And there's a devil coming, and he whispers in their ear, "You're the only one struggling with this. You're the only one struggling with anger, or with lust, or with frustration, or with depression, or with whatever it is, resentment or bitterness." And you know that all these people are holy. All these people are so perfect. It's you. And he tries to make you this place of shame. Stop you from admitting. Stop you from naming it as is. It's a lie. I experience all these negative emotions often. Very often. Especially since I took job in the church. We all face those things. If you could connect my brain or Joel's brain or anyone's brains to the screen, and every emotion that we experience, it will be there. Oh my goodness, you'll leave this church. You'll never come back again. Number two, identify the trigger. What triggered it? Don't just ignore it. Don't pretend like nothing happened. If you experience negative emotions, don't just pretend it didn't happen. Try to figure out, and again, you may need help of somebody else. What triggered it? When you identify the trigger, it will show you the area in your life when you need to grow a bit. Sometimes we can't avoid those triggers. But there are occasions where we actually can eliminate or minimize those triggers. For example, I don't follow politics, because they're pushing my buttons. I experience emotions I don't like. I don't like this rail track. I don't like when it's taking me. So when I open my Facebook and I see somebody sharing posts about how this guy bad or good, ignore, hide from my timeline, mute, hide. When I go to Facebook, you know what I want to see? I want to see your cats. I want to see your dog. I want to see what you ate for breakfast. I want to see a nice picture of a good, I don't know, oatmeal. I don't know what is the first that came to my mind. So if you know that something pushing your buttons, you can be smart about it and just try to avoid some of those things. Number three, challenge it. Remember I told you that what we feel based on what we think happening. Sometimes how we evaluate and estimate what's happening may not be exactly the truth. That's why it's often very good to get a second opinion. Because sometimes we experience somebody said something or something happened and we have this perception and it triggers anger or frustration. But then you talk to somebody else and you get different angle of the story. And the person says, you know what? I don't think this person meant that. I don't think that this is exactly, you heard it right. And you get the second opinion and suddenly you understand, oh, my emotions were triggered by a wrong assumption. Good example would be, let's say Joel and Anatoly goes and take a lunch together. And Joel orders pancakes and lasagna and pizza and chocolate mousse on the top. And Anatoly, he orders salad like he usually does. And then Joel looks at Anatoly and he feels and he thinks that Anatoly is being, what's the right word again, sorry? Condescending, right. Like he's judging him. Like I'm trying to show off. I'm trying to stick it in his face. But actually, Anatoly, not even thinking about that, he's just enjoying his carrots, enjoying his tomato, enjoying his lettuce, enjoying just kind of a cutting piece of cucumber. Thank you, Jesus, for making this cucumber. But Joel feels judged. But nobody's judging him. Nobody even cares about that. So what happens? Joel's emotions were triggered by a wrong assumption. He estimated situation in a wrong way, right? If he asked me, I would tell him, no, I'm not being judgmental. Be fat, that's okay. No problem. Ask yourself, is it really true? Is it really true? You know that your emotions can lie to you. Emotions are not a very reliable source. They can lie to you. And I understand it, guys. When you feel something, it's so real to you. It's right here. It must be true because I feel it right in my guts. But this is a tricky thing, that sometimes they can lie to you. Remember how Joel said last Sunday that stronghold, it's a lie we believe. It's so real here, right? It's so real. I know it must be true. Question, challenge it. It may lie to you. Those feelings may lie to you. Number four, choose your response. And this where reality, where we really... Is there any other saying when you want to say rubber meets the road? Anything? It's what's that? It's working. All right. This is a really stuff happening. Speaking in a foreign language is funny because if you only knew what happens to my brain, it's like you don't want to know that. Choose to respond according to your values. In other words, don't just react, but respond. You have freedom to choose your response. Evaluate and filter your feelings through the filter of your values, and then respond in such a way that represents your values. And once you choose to do that, once you decide to do the right thing, guess what happens? Your feelings will start following. It may take more than once. It may take to do the right thing 10 times. But I'm telling you, once you do the act of love, those feelings will follow. In a family, if you've been married for some time, you know that those first feelings, they fade out quite fast, faster than we would want them to. Heather, you're about to get married. You'll find out soon. So what do? You just feel till you feel something before you do something? No, you do. You do. You practice love. You practice generosity. You practice kindness. You practice gentleness, even if you don't feel like it. And when you do that, because those choices represent your values, when you do that, there is such a way that your feelings start to find its way to follow it, and then you feel it again. Choose your response. I really love this quote from Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl, he is a Holocaust survivor. He lost his whole family in the Nazi camps. He's been in prisons in 4 different Nazi camps. He lost every single member of his family. And he wrote a couple books, and he became quite a successful scientist. And this is what I wrote. He said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. That's where emotional maturity is developing. This word responsibility, I never thought of it this way, but then I it makes sense. Response, ability. It's ability, God-given ability to respond, not just react. Emotional maturity, its ability to subordinate our feelings to our values. Don't be a reactive person, but be proactive. Reactive people, their moods and their feelings easy can be spoiled by weather. You know, they look outside, oh, it's raining. Oh. Good weather, they feel good. Bad weather, they feel bad. But people who get to this place of maturity, emotional maturity, you can carry your weather with you. I could carry my minus 30 and snowfalls every day. Oh, I love snowfalls or rain. I'm strange that way. I don't like sun. I don't like sun. Sunshine, when it's raining, when it's snowing, when it's really nasty outside, that's where I really feel excited. I think if I go to counselor, I think counselor would tell me that I just like seeing people being miserable. And that gives me some kind of twisted joy. Maybe I am a work in progress. We all trying to get better. If you choose to dwell on your negative feelings and hold on to them and nurture them and react the way they push you, what it does, it creates a very toxic environment in your soul. It causes a downward spiral that takes you to places it's very difficult to get out from. These feelings, they create a distorted reality in your mind, distorted faith and beliefs about yourself, about others, and about God. What it does, it creates a filter in your mind. Everything you see, everything happens to you, everything that happens around you, you see through those lenses that gives you distorted understanding. And then it's very easy to be triggered by even smaller things. You see things that are not there. Nobody is rejecting you, but you feel rejected. Nobody is humiliating you, but you feel humiliated. Nobody is judging you, but you feel judged. Nobody is threatening you, but you feel threatened. Nobody is trying to isolate you, but you feel isolated. Nobody is discriminating you, but somehow through this filter, through that lens of those feelings, you feel discriminated. I can compare it with a rut, emotional rut that being built, and then it's so easy to slide into it. Every time something happens, every time somebody mentions or somebody forgot to say hi, or you sent somebody a text and never got a response, you see it through this lens. Oh, this person he doesn't love me. He didn't say hi. He hates me. So there's something wrong with me. Or, this person never returned my call. And you feel rejected by that. So you kind of slide in that emotional rut. And you feel like you're stuck. Even smaller things can trigger those emotional feelings again. And it's really interesting how in twisted ways those emotions, those ruts, they become a safe place for a person. It's his safe environment. Person kind of start to feel safe being bitter, safe feeling offended. It becomes his safety. And you may ask me, how do you know that? What book you read it in? I didn't read it in a book. I've been there. I'm somewhat still there. I'm getting better with God's help. But I know how it is to have emotional ruts. I know how it is being really good and then next second you're desperate. You feel like nobody likes you, nobody loves you. All world around you, you feel resentment, you feel bitterness in a second. I know how it is. And God wants to take us out of those ruts. Amen. The symptoms that person staying in the rut would be overreacting, blowing things out of proportion, always blaming others for how you feel, for your negative emotions, blaming circumstances. God is calling us to emotional maturity, a place when we can choose our response to life circumstances based on our faith, based on who we are in Christ, based on our values. Look at Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I love this passage. He said, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Yes, there are circumstances that you should be crushed. You should be depressed. You should be down. You should be frustrated. But I'm not. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. He wrote this letter to Philippians. He wrote it from a prison, and he told them, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Paul's hope was so deeply rooted in Christ, so even chains of a dungeon could not drive him to despair. Even being in the lowest of the low, He encourages churches, rejoice in the Lord. When I look at that, I said, this is where I want to be. Lord, this is where I want to get. How to get unstuck? You say, okay, I want to respond differently. I want to get unstuck. I want to get off this rut. How can I do that? Because I tried so many times, and it seems like it doesn't matter what I do, I slide back right there. There are two things that I'm trying to practice them daily. And I'm telling you, they work for me. These two things, they help me to get better. And those things are extremely simple. Every single person in this room, we can practice these two things. Number one, ask Holy Spirit to help you. How difficult is that? Did you know that self-control, as we talked about earlier, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I like how Paul puts it here, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in you. And he goes and He explains love and peace and joy, and one of them is self-control. You notice I lost some weight. Joel mentioned last, so it's no longer a secret because Joel mentioned last Sunday. I lost only almost 80 pounds for the past year and a half. It started with me asking Holy Spirit to help me to practice self-control. Because some of my habits, they went out of control. And I realized that without changing those habits, nothing will change. And I tried some things. They didn't work. I was always sliding back. So there was a time, I remember, I took it seriously. And I brought it to Holy Spirit. And I asked Him, Holy Spirit, I can't do it on my own. I can't change my cravings. I can't change my desire. Would You please help me to practice self-control? And He did. So I don't take credit. I don't take credit. Without emotions, the same things. Sometimes we can't just change the way we feel by the pure willpower. I won't be frustrated. Well, you can try for, it may work for 5 minutes. Holy Spirit, reality of His presence. I really like this story found in Psalm 73. We meet the guy, his name is Asaph. He was one of the worship leaders in the tabernacle of David, tent of David. This guy found himself in a very bitter spot. He was looking around and he saw how many people who are wicked. They prosper. They're doing well. And he was trying to, you know, pure his heart, walk with the Lord. And it seems like he couldn't understand why it's happening. It seems not fair. Sometimes we look in our lives and some things, they don't seem fair. And he found himself stuck. Look at his emotions, verse 13, and then verses 16, 17. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. So he's disappointed. He may be like, all of the things I've been doing for past, you know, so many years, it's garbage. I could have lived different life. Probably I did it all in vain. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Can you feel this depth of frustration and not understanding and resentment till I entered the sanctuary of God. He got into God's presence. Ooh, he experienced the presence of Holy Spirit. And then I understood their destiny. In the light of God's truth, in the light of God's presence, in the light of knowing who God is and who we are to Him, suddenly it takes different, this lens been taken off and God gives us new lens. Now look at what's happening in your life through this lens. And we're like, who? It's not that bad. And suddenly, feeling of desperation and abandoned, and all these feelings, they're being replaced by feelings of hope and joy and peace that not depend only on circumstances or other people. It's something that has nothing to do with this reality. It has to do with this reality. Ask Holy Spirit to help you. Number two, speak to your soul. Did you know that you can talk to your soul? David did. Psalm 103, first couple of verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David telling his soul what to do. And all that was in me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives you all your iniquity, and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Whew. David reminds his soul about who God is and what God has done for him. And he's telling his soul, despite of what you think happening, despite of how you feel, this is who God is. This is what He done. This is how great He is. This is how good He is. And he tells, my soul, bless the Lord. But when we do that, we're focusing on God. We're focusing on His goodness. It guides us into this stream of gratitude. When we suddenly, instead of seeing how bad things are, we see how good God is, despite of whatever happening or happened. When I got saved in 1996, I joined the church in Ukraine. And there was a song that we were singing over and over again. It's a fast praise song. And it was based on this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all He's done and all within me. Bless His holy name. I knew that Natalie wrote it. We weren't dating then, and I didn't know who Natalie was. I knew that she was after the song, and, well, it didn't mean much. But what I didn't know, that song was written as a result of a major traumatic incident that happened to her. Incident where she almost was killed. I didn't know that. It came out from this place of agony, where devil was whispering in her ears, God doesn't love you. He didn't protect you. Look at what happened to you. He wanted her to stuck in this why station. Why it happened to me? What's wrong with me? He wanted her to shut up and never again speak of God's goodness again. Never again sing a song of praise again. So he would spend the rest of her life in misery, self-hatred, and shame. She wasn't going this path by herself. She had lots of people around her who were supporting her, who were standing next to her, praying for her. I wasn't part of the journey because it was before we started to date. Natalie shared the story with me later, when we were dating already, when we were engaged to be married. With the help of these people, with the help of Holy Spirit, Natalie chose to forgive those people who offended her. Natalie chose to focus on the goodness of God. She realized that God spared her life because she could have been killed. But God spared her life. And this song came out of a result of that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Talk to your soul, church. Sometimes our feelings take us to these places where we can't understand some things. And I don't minimize. I've been going through things in my life. It's not easy. Maybe you hear me right now and think, there is no way I can do that. But with the power of Holy Spirit, with the grace of God, He can lead you to a better place. He will lead you to a place of breakthrough. Choose to keep your focus on God, on what He has done in your life, and tell your soul to bless His name even when you don't feel like it. And you will see how peace and joy of God will start flooding your life, healing your wounds, filling your life with His presence. Let's pray. Let's stand up, church, and pray for a minute. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge Your presence here. Thank You. You're such a good Father. You brought us out from such a deep pit. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a path. You know where everyone is at this morning, this afternoon, Lord. We need You. We desperately need You. So many times we're trying to fight against those negative emotions. So many times we're trying to do this and that, only to be disappointed. Oh, this didn't work. Oh, it happened again. We've all been there. But today, Holy Spirit, we just come and we focus our eyes on You. Fall down. Let Your healing anointing flood this room. Let the love of Father saturate our hearts to the point like we never experienced before. Church, You are loved. You are deeply and passionately loved by are your Father. Holy Spirit, and this morning, this afternoon, we choose to bless your name. We're telling our souls, my soul, bless the Lord, and everything that is inside of me, bless his holy name. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you for everything you have done in our lives. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you. Amen. Church, have a blessed week.